The message you're about to hear has been made possible by the continued financial support of the friends and partners of Faith Hill. To find out more about how to become a partner, be sure to visit faithhill.tv.
We walk by faith and not by sight. Faith Hill, that's who we are.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And so, another announcement. I think we have two quick announcements. For those of you watching online who are in the U.S., we actually do have a live group in the U.S. that meets in Los Angeles on Saturday mornings. And so if you would like to be a part of that live group, please be sure to send us an email to admin@faithhillchurch.co.za, as you would say, right? But it's Z-A. Amen. And also another announcement is that we have the early bird special tickets for Wealth Builders Africa. Amen. If you're serious about building wealth and you'd like to learn more around this, Billy Epperhart has a conference called Wealth Builders, and it's going to be happening here in Africa from the 11th to the 13th of July here on the continent of Africa in Johannesburg. And so if you would like to be a part of that, please be sure to take advantage of this early bird special. They're only selling for $25. How much is that? $25 US dollars? Close to 500 rand. It's very cheap. You can't buy a shoe with 500 rand these days, right? At least the shoes that I wear, but you know, you understand. Someone's like, Pastor, you can find them on Shein. No, not. No. No, you're talking to the wrong guy. No. So get yourself a ticket, come out, and it's going to be fun. Amen. All right, quickly, why don't you hold your Bible, lift it up real high, and shout, this is my Bible. I believe what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer and not a doubter, a doer, not just a hearer. Today, I'll learn from God's word, and my life will never be the same, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we've been on this journey, and we're about to land the plane. We've been on this journey talking about grace for the end times. Anybody learned something so far? Anybody learned something new that they didn't know so far? If you've learned something, let's see by show of hands. Okay, we're learning some. It looks like we're making some progress. Amen. All right, let me fix this. I want to shout, so I'm going to fix this. Marshall, can you fix it for me? All right. And so what we've learned so far is that, there are different time spans or time capsules or dispensations that are in Scripture, and seven of them, right? We learned that Hebrews 1, verse 1, it says that God in sundry times, and we say those sundry times are different dispensations. God in sundry times in diverse manners spoke to our forefathers by the prophets, and it says as in these last days spoken to us by his son. And so we said, the journey started in the beginning, in the garden, which was the dispensation of innocence. All right. Okay. Which was the dispensation of innocence, right? And it became the dispensation of conscience. If you want to get into more detail around this, please go and check out some other teachings that we've done on this current series before. It became the dispensation of human government at the Tower of Babel. We explained this more in detail in those teachings. Innocence, conscience, human government, and it... God gave the promise to Abraham, and it became the dispensation of the law, remember? Mount Sinai, and then you and I live in the dispensation of the church, right? Also known as the dispensation of grace, right? Right? And we say this has been going on for what? Over 2,000 years now, A.D., right? A.D., Anno Domini, which is after Christ. And we say that we're going to go into the millennial reign of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Did we say that? Yeah, we did. Reign, right? And so these are the seven dispensations that we see in reading Scripture. But we say this in building up to today, and I really recommend that you get this for yourself if you can, the Kenneth West New Testament. If you actually read 2 Thessalonians, I didn't have this in my notes, but I'm going to read that anyway. 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 1, we talked about being snatched up, right? We talked about being raptured. That's the English word that they use in chapter number 1. And the apostle, you know, Paul was writing to the church at Thessalonica and really encouraging them around this thing of going to heaven. And in chapter number 2, I believe, where did we read that? Let's see here, 2 Thessalonians, it says from, okay, forget it, right? Chapter number 2 from verse 8, let's read that. It says, and then shall the lawlessness one be disclosed in his true identity, whom the Lord Jesus Christ shall slay with his breath out of his mouth. But let's go to verse 4. Do not begin to allow anyone to lead you astray in any way. We say chapter number 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 4. Do not let anyone begin to lead you astray in any way, because that day will not come except the aforementioned departure of the church to heaven comes first. And so we read in the King James, and it says that the falling away, and Kenneth West rightly translates that phrase, falling away, as the departure of the church to heaven. He says that the Antichrist will not be revealed until the church has been raptured or snatched up, and then we know that the Antichrist will be revealed. And once the Antichrist is revealed during that period, it's going to kick off a period that is called the 7 years of tribulation. It's called the 7 years of tribulation. And you and I are not going to be here to witness these 7 years of tribulation. But it says in the first 3.5 of those years, what's going to happen is the Antichrist will be a nice guy. And at the last part of the 3.5 years, he's going to go to Jerusalem, the city of God, the city where Jesus is going to reign from in the millennial reign. And he's going to go into the temple and demand, for people to worship him. But someone may be asking, P.T., where do you see all of this stuff? That's what we are about to show you today as we wrap it up. And so let's go to Daniel chapter number 9. Daniel chapter number 9. Everything is in the Bible. And at this point, I highly recommend you to stay awake. It's about to get good. I'm going to tell you when it's sleeping time. I'm going to tell you just after this verse, you can go ahead and do your thing. Amen. But man, don't miss this. And so Daniel was praying and he was asking God, because it had been 490 years of Israel, falling away from God and doing their own thing. And they were in idol worship for 490 years. And so Daniel began to pray and ask God, what does the future of Israel look like? And the angel came and explained to Daniel what was to come from the moment that he was, hearing these words from the angel. And so let's go to Daniel chapter number 9, verse 22 in the NLT. Daniel chapter number 9 from verse number 22 in the NLT. And he says this, and he says, and he explained to me, we say verse 22, if you can, verse 22, verse number 22 in the NLT. It says this, and he explained to me, Daniel, I have come here to give you insight and understanding. How many of you know that we all need insight and understanding? Amen. He says, from the moment you began praying, a command was given, and now I'm here to tell you what it was, for you are very precious to God. Listen carefully so that you can understand the meaning of your vision. And so the Lord began to say to Daniel through the angel, this is the vision of Israel. The prophetic word is not for the church, is for Israel. Amen. And it says a period of 70 sets of seven. Now, I know some of you have done math, right? And so you're going to help me here, because what we begin to see is the angel began to give him specifics of what this thing is going to look like for the nation of Israel. Amen. And he said this. He said it's going to be 70, right? 70 sets. At least if, you know, my math serves me right, whenever I say sets, you put brackets, right? And what does bracket mean? You multiply. Hey, I got some math majors in the building. And so if we are multiplying this, 70 times 7, what does that equal? Ooh, y'all cooking, right? And so he gave him that as the, anybody ever worked on a puzzle? So this is the picture that you see outside the puzzle. That's what he gave him. He said this thing, because Israel had been in idol worship for 490 years, it's going to take 490 years for us to reverse the whole thing so that we can enter into summer. What is summer? Jesus said in Matthew 25, when you start to see the fig tree gather its leaves, then you know that summer is near. What is summer? Summer has everything to do, a fig tree has everything to do with the nation of Israel. And summer is the nation of Israel beginning to prosper again. Now, you must understand, you know, some of the preachers who preached in the yesteryears, at the beginning of the 18th century, did not have the privilege of seeing Israel come together as a nation again. But you and I have the privilege of not only seeing the fig tree, Israel, 1948, coming together as a nation, but we get to see the leaves, Israel, actually prospering. And he says, when you see the fig tree, gather the leaves, then you know summer is near. Then you know we are about to enter into the millennial reign or the rest of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so Israel is always at the center of biblical prophecy. And I'm going to show you in a minute. And so he's talking to Israel here, and he says this vision, the picture outside the puzzle, is it's going to take 490 years. Now watch this. It gets gooder. And he says a period of 70 sets of seven, verse 24, right? A period of 70 sets of seven has been decreed for your people and your holy city to finish their rebellion. So this is to wind up their rebellion, put an end to sin, and to atone for their guilt, to bring everlasting righteousness, to confirm the prophetic vision, and to anoint the most holy place. Verse 25, now listen. Hunt your neighbor and say, now listen, now listen. He says, now listen and understand. The seven sets of seven plus 62 sets of seven will pass from the time the command is given to rebuild Israel. And so now he's given two other sets of time, right? And he says there's going to be seven, right? Sets of seven, which equals what? 49, which is 49 years, right? And then he says there's going to be 62 sets of seven, which equals how many years? 434 years. Ooh, they're cooking. And so let's do a little bit of math here. 9 plus 4 is what? And 4 what? Say what? Y'all confusing me. What did you say, Kerry? Carry it to where? What's he talking about? Just carry one. Where should I carry it? And so, this is good. This is good. He says, so what's going to happen is, you know, from the command, from the day that the king makes a decree, Ataxerxes, I think that was his name, or Artaxerxes, I don't know how to pronounce him. He made a decree for the building of the temple in Israel. And when he did that, God was holding a clockwatch in his hands, and the first 49 years passed until the finishing of the rebuilding of the temple. And after that, there was another 432 years, which he said ended with this. We know when the 434 years ended because he tells it to us here. He says, What verse am I on? 20, 25. He says in verse 25, the command is given to rebuild Jerusalem until a ruler, now this is the second part, a ruler, the anointed one, who might be the anointed one be? Jesus, until a ruler, the anointed one comes, and Jerusalem will be rebuilt with the streets and strong defenses despite the perilous time. And he says this, after this period of 62 sets of seven, the anointed one, who might be the anointed one? Jesus, will be killed. Did he get killed? He says he will be killed, appearing to have accomplished nothing. Did it look like he was finished and he didn't accomplish anything? He says accomplished, and the ruler will arise amongst the armies that will destroy the city and the temple. And we talked about that in AD 70, where they surrounded Israel and everybody went into exile. We already talked about that. You remember that? And he says the end will come with a flood, and war and its miseries are decreed from that time to the very end. And so he says, when all of this happened, this, you know, Jesus coming and getting killed, it's going to be at the end of 434 years. And if you add that to 49 years, we have 483 years. But we do have a serious problem. And the serious problem is, he said it's going to take 400, the puzzle said it's 490 years. But we only get to 483. Did we do the math right? And so what's up with that, PT? Well, keep reading. He says the ruler, verse 27, will make a treaty with the people for a period of one set of seven. One times seven equals what? And if you add that seven, what do you get? Now, he is the sneaky, I call him Jehovah Sneaky, he's so cool. Here's a sneaky part. Is that when this period ended, remember we told you, we said the church was a mystery in God. When this period ended, when they killed Jesus, God took that stopwatch that was running and put it on pause. And then he took another watch called the church, which had never been seen. And he took that watch called the church and he put it in between here. And that clock watch has been running for 2,000 years. And so he cut this off. He put that pause so that we could be grafted in, right? I need you to understand this, so that we could be grafted in. So essentially what this would look like, here's what it would look like. From the time that, you know, Daniel got the prophetic word, right? He got the prophetic word for the first 49 years. And then it became another 434 years. And then, you know, God stopped the clock watch and put grace or the church. Because he wanted you and I to be reconciled. And at the end of that, when the church is raptured, the 7 years will continue. So that it comes to the fullness of that 7 years. And so we see that. Let's go to Romans chapter number 11. We see that in clarity. And Romans chapter number 11 is going to help you relate with Israel with a little bit of respect. Just a little bit. Because it will show you that had it not been of Israel, we would not have this period of grace. Amen? And so it says in verse 17, but when you get home, I want you to read the whole chapter. Verse 17 in the Amplified, if you will, this is the church age. This is the period that you and I live in. It's been 2000. When this period stops, the 7 years must be finished before God wraps it all up. Amen? And so we don't know when Jesus said, you don't know the time, he's talking about this period here. You don't know the time where the church age is coming to an end. Only the Father knows that the turning of the age into the 7 years of tribulation. And so he says in verse 17 in the Amplified, not Amplified Classic, just Amplified. He says, but if some of the branches were broken off, you Gentiles, being like a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among them to share with them the rich root of the olive tree. The rich root is Jesus. And he's saying the branch called Israel had to be broken off so that we, a wild olive tree, could be grafted in. Otherwise, if that branch had not been broken off, there was no place for us to be grafted in. Can I get an amen? And so he says this, do not boast. Aren't you ever said, do not boast? Man, I've heard people talk about, you know, this ain't the right Israel, this is the wrong Israel. Man, the Apostle Paul said, chill out. Can I get an amen? I've heard people say, we are the new Israelites. No, you ain't. Can I get an amen? You and I be Gentiles, amen? He says, he says, do not boast over the broken branches and exalt yourself at their expense. Can I read that one more time? And this is not a suggestion, this is a commandment. He says, do not boast over the broken branches and exalt yourself at their expense. If you do boast and feel superior, remember that it is not you who supports the root, but the root supports you. Verse 19, you will say then, branches were broken off so that I may be grafted in. That is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand by your faith as believers, understanding the truth of Christ's deity. Do not be conceited, but rather stand in great awe of God and fear him or reverence him. For if God did not spare the natural branches because of their unbelief, he will not spare you either. In other words, if God stops loving Israel, which he gave an eternal commitment to, what makes you think he's going to keep his commitment to you? That's what he's saying. Then appreciate the gracious kindness and severity of God to those who fell into spiritual ruin. Severity, but to you, God's gracious kindness, if you continue in his kindness by faith and obedience to him, otherwise you too will be cut off. And even they, the unbelieving Jews, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in. For God has the power to graft them in again. For if you were cut off from what is by nature, a wild olive tree, against nature were grafted into a cultivated olive tree, how much easier will it be to graft these who are the natural branches back into the original parent stock of their own olive tree? And so he's trying to tell you the olive tree has people that own it. And you were just grafted in, so chill out. God, through his grace, made a provision called the grace dispensation, the church age, where you and I could be grafted in. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so he says in verse 25, I do not want you believers to be unaware of this mystery, God's previously hidden plan, so that you will not be wise in your own opinion. That a partial hardening has temporarily happened to Israel to last until the full number of Gentiles has come in. Remember, we talked about that during this church age, it's kind of like Noah's time. Jesus said it's going to be like Noah. The ark is built, the doors are open, and he says when the full number of Gentiles has come in, then there's going to be the door is going to be shut off. This is good. He says, until the full number of Gentiles is coming, and when the full number of Gentiles is coming, we're going to be raptured and snatched up out of here. And so, at that time, all Israel, that is all the Jews who have personal faith in Jesus as the Messiah, will be saved. Just as it is written in Scripture, the Deliverer, Messiah, will come from Zion, and he will remove ungodliness from Jacob. And so what's going to happen is, there's a period God has given us called the period of grace, and when that period comes to an end, we're going to be snatched up out of here. And the 7 years that haven't happened yet are going to be kickstarted. God will pick up that clock and start it again so that we can finish and enter into the millennial reign. To which, during those 7 years, there's going to be the Antichrist will be revealed. We read that in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And once he's revealed, I mean, it's going to be a tough period to be born again because there's going to be crazy persecution. And so you and I made the right call, right? Getting born again right now. Because during that period, it's going to be tough. And not only will it be tough because, you know, there's going to be an Antichrist revealed and doing his thing. It's also going to be tough because that period is specifically focused on bringing in the Jews, There's going to be Gentiles saved. If you read in Revelations, it talks about people from other nations coming into the millennial reign. But the main focus is going to be the Jews, so that God can give them their redemption. During those 7 years, there's going to be 144,000. If you read in Revelations, the 144,000, it's Jewish evangelists that are going to be preaching about the coming kingdom. They're not, see, during this dispensation, we preach the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Before Jesus went home to be with the Lord when he was ascended, he preached the gospel of the kingdom, and there's a difference. See, during that period, they're not going to be preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of grace, because this period would have ended. They're going to be preaching the gospel of the kingdom, right? Saying there is a coming Messiah who's coming to set up rule and reign in Israel, and he will rule the whole world for 1,000 years. And so there was this one guy, you know, way back in the 90s, he did a set of DVDs, and he was a powerful man of God, but he just missed it on that one. And he said, you know, the message of the church should be the kingdom. No, the message of the church is the gospel of grace. The message of the kingdom is the message to the Jewish nation, because they understand that there is a Messiah that's coming to set up rule and reign. Amen? I said amen. And so let's look at some verses that validate this. Let's go to Matthew chapter number 24. Matthew chapter number 24, we're going to talk about what will happen during the 7 years of tribulation. It says in verse 9, Matthew 24 verse 9, then they will deliver you, he's talking to the Jews, he says they will deliver you up for tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated of all nations. Now he's talking at a national level, at a nation level. He says you'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake. He's not talking to the church, he's talking to the Jewish nation. And he says then many will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another. They'll go and betray one another to the Antichrist, and they will hate one another. And he says then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And so during this period of 7 years, there's going to be many false prophets, and there's going to be a whole lot of deception. And he says, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold, but he who endures till the end shall be saved. He's not talking to the church, because your salvation is not based on endurance. Your salvation is based on what Jesus did for you at the cross. But during this period, he who endures, because there's going to be so much tribulation and persecution. And so people take these verses and apply them to the church. He's not talking to the church. He who endures till the end shall be saved. Now watch this, verse 14. And the gospel of the what? No, not the gospel of grace. Because it's a different dispensation. During the 7 years, they're going to be saying, man, Jesus is coming back to set up rule and reign. And he's going to set up the millennial reign and kickstart it. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and the end will come. And so some people say, who's going to be preaching this gospel? You know, 144,000 Jewish evangelists, 12,000 from each tribe. And there's going to be angels also preaching the gospel. If you read Revelations, chapter number 14 from verse 1 to 5, it says angels will be seen going around preaching the gospel. And in Revelations 11, 1 to 4, it says there's going to be two witnesses that will also come from heaven to preach the gospel. And many scholars, in fact, there are two schools of thought. There's one school of thought that believe it's going to be Enoch and Elijah, because they were the two Old Testament saints who did not die. They, you know, Elijah went up through the chariot of fire, and we know Enoch took a walk and didn't come back. He took a walk with the Lord and didn't come back, and so people believe that, and some believe it's going to be Elijah and Moses. So there are two schools of thought, but it don't matter. There's going to be two witnesses that are going to preach the gospel to people during that time. And at the end of that, there's going to be what we call the Battle of Armageddon. If you watch movies, they have a little bit of insight around that. They know that there's Jesus coming back to take care of business right at the end, because what's going to happen is, this is why it's so important to take notice what's happening to the world and Take notice the positions that all these different nations, you know, take when it comes to Israel, because ultimately it's going to determine what they will do at the end of 7 years of tribulation. There's going to be what we call goat nations, and mostly from Europe, that are going to go attack, you know, Israel. And there's going to be what we call sheep nations, and the sheep nations are going to defend Israel. And this is why when we come into the millennial reign, if you read in Zechariah, it says there are some who were spared because they were hospitable to Israel, and they came into the millennial reign, not for their faith in Jesus, but for their hospitality. Remember Rahab, who was hospitable to the nation of Israel and made it into the lineage and so on and so forth. And that's what's going to happen. Some of them will come into the millennial reign because of that. But because the millennial reign is going to be such a perfect environment, all of a sudden people will start to live 400, 500, 700 years. And some, it says, you know, of Satan in Revelations 20, he says he's been bound. He's going to be bound for, I believe, a little over 900 of those years. But he says you'll be released for a little while and you'll deceive many. Can you imagine? Even in the perfect environment, he will still deceive many. And then we will, you know, those people will appear before the great white throne, and then they'll be, you know, banished and thrown into the lake of fire forever. You can go read your Bible. It's there, you know. And some people say, man, why you read the book of Revelations? Well, let's go to Revelations chapter number 1. Why you read that, Pastor T? Why you gotta be reading that? Let's go to Revelations chapter number 1 from verse 1-3. It says the revelation of Jesus Christ. Aren't your neighbor and say it's the revelation of Jesus Christ? Not the revelation of the Antichrist. So when you go into the book of Revelations, don't look for the Antichrist, look for Jesus. Can I get an amen? It says the revelation of who? Of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. He sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. Now watch this. Blessed. Blessed is he who reads the book of Revelation. Anybody want to be blessed? Why aren't you reading? Yeah, there it is. Pastor, I don't know if I can put Revelations in my Bible reading program. Do you want to be blessed? Blessed is the man or the woman who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Amen. Now let me read two Bible verses and then we'll be out of here. Is that okay? I still got time. Let's go to Revelations 19 from verse 11 to 21 in the NLT. Revelations chapter number 19 from, let me ask my wife to read, because, you know, sometimes I start reading my own things, you know, and NLT, in the NLT, Revelations chapter number 19 from verse number 11 to 21 in the NLT.
Okay. Then I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True.
Stop right there. You know, that's how they used to preach back in the white garment section. Back home. So when I say buku, that means read. Okay. When I say book, that means read. When I say stop, you stop, right? Right. That's what, so let's read it one more time. Okay, let's read it one more time.
It's right, from the beginning.
This is John, you know, showing us what he saw, right, for that day. And what did he say? Then I saw
heaven opened and a white horse was standing there.
Yeah.
Its rider was named Faithful and True.
Who could that be? Capital letter F and T. Yeah, let's read on.
For he judges fairly and wages a righteous war.
Come on. Let's read on.
Can we have the next verse, please?
Verse 12.
His eyes were like flames of fire, mm-hmm. and on his head were many crowns.
Yeah.
A name was written on him that no one understood except himself.
Come on, let's keep reading.
He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God.
See, we're coming to take care of business, because what's going to happen is all these nations will surround Israel, and the Antichrist will say, okay, this is one last battle, let's destroy them and banish them from the earth forever, and before they do anything, everything, the heavens are going to open up, and they're going to see faithful and true, the one who's named Word of God. And he's going to be wearing a white robe, riding on a white horse. And this time, see, Jesus came in the first advent as the Lamb of God. This time he's coming as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He ain't coming to play with nobody. Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Watch it, watch it, watch it. You and I are a part of this. You watch what happens. Next verse.
The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses.
Come on. That's us. That's you and I. Next verse.
From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations.
Notice we're dealing with nations, goat nations and sheep nations, right? The nations that are surrounding to attack. He's going to take care of that. What will happen?
He will rule them with an iron rod.
Yeah.
He will release the fierce wrath of God,
come
the
on.
Almighty, like juice flowing from a winepress.
Let's go.
On his robe, at his thigh, was written this title, King of all kings and Lord of all lords.
See, when he came, he was humble with y'all. He let you put that little thorn thing on his head, put right king, this is the king of Jews, play with him like that. No, not this time around. He ain't coming to play with nobody. Can I get an amen? And so the world thinks it's a soft religion. They think Christianity is a, they want us to fight, but it's not yet time to fight. It's coming, but it's not yet. Let's read on.
Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, shouting to the vultures flying high in the sky, come, gather together for the great banquet God has prepared.
You know what vultures eat? Dead carcasses. You know, we saw it in Kruger National Park. We saw an animal. I had never seen it. It was the first time I saw it a few months ago. I saw vultures, big vultures, eating a dead animal. And so we drove past with a tour guide, and he said, you see that? Those are vultures eating. By the time we came back, there was nothing to eat. It was gone. They don't play around. And so the angel is calling them because he knows it's about to be a great feast. What else?
Come and eat the flesh of
kings,
generals,
come
and
on.
Strong warriors,
yeah.
Of horses and their riders,
yeah.
And of all humanity, both
yeah.
free and slave,
yeah.
small and great.
See, those of different classes, you know, social classes, if they don't believe the message of the kingdom during this time, they're all part of, you know, the enemy that he's going to come and take care of. Verse 19.
Then I saw the beast and the kings of the world
yeah.
and their armies gathered together to fight against the one sitting on the horse and his army.
Next verse.
And the beast was captured.
You know, the main dog, right? The Antichrist was captured. What else happened?
And with him, the false prophet who did mighty miracles on behalf of the beast.
Yeah, so the beast is going to have this little guy that does miracles on TV and special effects broadcast to the world. During that time and to get some, you know, street cred, right? And they both of them, he going to take care of them. Next verse, what did he say? What's he going to do to
miracles
them?
Miracles that deceived all who had accepted the mark of the beast
yeah.
and who worshipped his statue.
Yeah.
Both the beast and his false prophet were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur.
Yeah.
Their entire army was killed by the sharp sword that came from the mouth of the one riding the white horse.
Yeah.
And the vultures all gorged themselves on the dead bodies.
And so, even just reading this, it just shows us how powerful the Word of God is. He does not come with any technology outside of the Word of God. The sword that of fire that proceeds from his mouth is the Word of God. And so, man, when you read the Word of God, you see, God is just showing us the way we should be dealing with our problems. That's going to be the big one. But the little problems that torment you, some of you feel helpless. You shouldn't be feeling helpless if you've got a sword that you can put in your mouth and spit it out. Use the Word. Amen. Now watch in Zechariah chapter number 14, it's the same thing. I like how the Bible, you know, comments on itself. These are people that are prophesying two different dispensations far apart from each other. And watch what it says in Zechariah 14 from verse 1 to 9. In the New King James, if you will. Can you read it for me? Verse 1 to 9.
Behold, the day of the Lord is coming.
It's also called the day of the Lord. It's also called the day of vengeance. This day, that's what it's called. Yeah, the day of the Lord is coming. When?
And your spoil will be divided in your midst.
Yeah.
For I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem.
So they're coming to battle against Jerusalem, yeah?
The city shall be taken.
Yeah.
The houses rifled.
Yeah.
And the woman ravished.
Yeah.
Half of the city shall go into captivity.
Yeah.
But the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city.
Yeah.
Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations.
The Lord will go forth and fight against those nations, just like we read in Revelations, right? Do y'all see that? And what does it say?
And he fights in the day of battle.
Yeah.
And in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north and half of it toward the south.
This is why there's so much, you know, a commotion happening on who owns Jerusalem and Israel. Just that, I mean, think about it. That piece of land. Come on, y'all. Come over here. We'll give you, we got lots of land. No, they don't want that one. They want that one. You know why? Because biblical prophecy tells us the Lord will rule and reign from Jerusalem. And so the Antichrist is after that same real estate. And so you see, when Jesus comes, he's not going to rule from New York City, as romantic as that might, you know, sound. He's not going to rule from Paris. No, he's going to rule from Jerusalem, from the temple in Jerusalem. Amen? Amen. I said amen. Amen. Now watch what happens. Next verse.
Amen. I'm reading Zechariah 14, verse 5.
Yeah.
Then you shall flee through my mountain valley, mm-hmm. for the mountain valley shall reach to Azal.
Yeah.
Yes, you shall flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah.
Yeah.
Thus the Lord my God will come and all the saints with you.
Hold on there. He says the Lord will come and who else is coming with him? All the saints. And so when the Lord rides his white horse, he's going to be the army general, right? The commander in chief. He's going to be right at the front, and all the saints, you and I, are going to be riding behind him to witness all this biblical prophecy unfold. Man, it's going to be a fun day. Amen? And this is why, you know, I was talking to someone. I said, man, they asked me, they said, you know, PT, how come you guys at Faith Hill Church have a special anointing for men? I said, we don't have a special anointing for men. We just learned a long time ago that if you put Jesus in his rightful place, all the men will come and worship. See, men don't mind worshiping as long as Jesus is the commander-in-chief. Now, when you start playing your games, you worship each other. Men of God, what? Men don't like that stuff. Because we are built for war. Can I get an amen? We want to go fight something, but we want real leadership, not make-believe leadership. You put Jesus in his rightful place, men will come from the east, the west, the south, and the north, and say, we will bow down, we will serve the King of Kings. So we're going to be riding behind Jesus, y'all. Ooh, the saints riding with him. Let's read that.
And
let's
it read shall that. Come to
see,
pass.
See, before you read that, what you're about to read is going to blow your mind. And you may not understand any of it. Don't try to understand any of it. See, because some of you get, you know, so anxious about heaven that you try to understand everything. You're like, is there going to be marriage? Old people are going to still look old. And just know he's going to a place and it's going to prepare a place better than where you are right now. We may not have all the answers. You say, my uncle died with a sore knee. Will the knee be sore? Will it still be sore? Man, come on, man. I think Jesus has enough sense to know how to take care of that.
Come on,
amen. Says, my grandfather died. He was old. He was looking old. He had wrinkles. Will he still be? No, don't worry about it. It's going to be all right. It's going to be better than what we experience right here on the earth.
Amen.
Can I get an amen? And so what you're about to read may not make sense, but once we get there, all of us are going to enjoy it.
Amen.
Now let's read it.
It shall come to pass in that day.
In that day, which is the day of salvation, right? The day of entering into his rest, the millennial reign. What will happen?
That there will be no light. The lights will diminish.
Yeah.
It shall be one day which is known to the Lord, neither day nor night.
Yeah.
But at evening time it shall happen that it will be light.
Yeah.
And in that day it shall be that living waters shall flow from Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Half of them toward the eastern sea and half of them toward the western sea.
Yeah.
In both summer and winter it shall occur. And the Lord shall be king. And the Lord shall
and the
be
who?
King. And the Lord shall be king.
Over what?
Over all the earth.
And what will happen?
In that day it shall be, the Lord is one and his name is one. All the land shall be turned into a plain from Geba to Rimon south of Jerusalem.
Come on.
Jerusalem shall be raised up and inhabited in her place from Benjamin's gate to the place of the first gate and the corner gate.
That's it. That's
and
it.
From the tower of Hananel to the king's wine presses.
Yeah.
The people shall dwell in it.
Yeah.
And no longer shall there be utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited.
Amen. Amen. And so that's what's going to happen. Jesus will come back, take political power, and show us how it's done. For the first time in the history of the world, we will have someone as king who is kind, who is gracious, who is the great equalizer. See, all these other governments, when they say we want to take from the rich and bring to the poor, come on, y'all, come on. We know what y'all doing. Jesus is going to be the great equalizer. He will come and show us how it's supposed to have been done, and he's going to do it for 1,000 years. And man, I'm telling you, it's going to be some of the best days of our lives. We'll live 1,000, and for you and I, we'll have immortal bodies, right? And some people are going to come in there with mortal bodies. We would have been saved from the days of tribulation. You and I will have immortal bodies. People, I say this, and I'm going to say it again, people will come to you and ask you what it was like during this dispensation of the church. Did you really have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you? People will come by your mansion and want to hear stories of your faith adventures. People will come and say, what rewards did you get? No, that was just wood, straw, and hay. You must have been out of your mind. And they'll say, did someone not preach that to you? No, they did, but I thought it was just another Sunday morning service. Man, listen, make some eternal investments. As you leave your faith adventures, you'll have testimonies to share. Start making memories that will last 1,000 years. And why don't you stand on your feet? Thank you, Jesus. Man, I'm telling you, Romans 11 tells us that when the last Gentile comes in, we're going home. Amen. And so we who are saved, we are like the rank marshals, right? We if you've ever been to the MTN rank, you know the rank marshals get people in the taxi. And so when Jesus gave us the Great Commission and he gave us the power to be able to do that, we are supposed to get people into the ark. That should be your obsession. That should be your obsession. Getting people into the ark. As many as we can during this dispensation of grace. Amen. Man, don't let your relatives play Russian roulette with the days of tribulation. It says during those days, people will go and ask lions to eat them. For fear of facing the Antichrist. And the lion will be like, no, I'm already full. Because people will say, man, I'm going to accept Jesus Christ and go to the Kruger and ask the lions to eat. And the lions will say, man, I'm already full. I don't want to eat no flesh. You know, do your thing. 7 years. We still have 300 more days to go. And so don't let your friends and your family, you know, play Russian roulette with this. It's not going to be a nice time to be around this place. Amen. So get them in. It's the dispensation of grace. We read in 2 Peter that God is not slow concerning his promises, as some men may count slowness. He's not slack concerning his promises, but he's patient, not willing that any man should perish. And so God is not slow. He's giving us more time and more time and more grace so that we can reach as many people as possible. The priority right now is to preach the gospel to your children. You know, I mean, math extra lessons are important, don't get me wrong, but preaching the gospel to your children is way more important than math extra lessons. Get them saved, get them in the ark, get them to understand the gospel and to receive Jesus, the Christ, as their personal Lord. It's the priority right now. And I'm telling you, that's going to be an eternal investment on your part. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you. Lord, we thank you, Father, for your word is true. We thank you for your grace, this dispensation of grace. We thank you, Father, that even though we were a wild olive branch, you grafted us in and we can become a part of the family. Lord, we thank you, Father, that not only have you made us a part of the family, you've also made us heirs to inherit of every single promise in your word. Lord, we thank you that not only are we heirs of your promises for victorious living, but we are heirs of the ultimate promise of your kingdom, where we can serve you and worship you all for the rest of our days in eternity. We just thank you, Father. We thank you for your grace, your strength to preach the gospel with urgency. That as we go out into the world, as we interact with people, we may realize that you have sent us to be the salt of the earth, to be the light of the world, so that we can reach many until the full number of Gentiles have come in. Lord, we just thank you for it, and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we have prayed, and someone shout amen. Well, we love you. God bless you. And remember these words from 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We love you. God bless you.
We hope this message has been a blessing to you. Thank you for listening. To find out more about how you can become a partner, visit faithhill.tv today.